Hello, everybody. Welcome to WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
And I'm Ian.
And we're all this is a long week for a Tuesday.
Oh, man. Yeah.
This is why you hang out with us, because we're entertaining. So yeah, we are going to be discussing the original concept of Epcot, or more specifically, kind of ish, the Florida Project.
Yeah.
So we are going to break that down, because as most people are aware, Epcot is currently a park, a theme park.
Yep.
But it didn't initially start out that way.
Right.
And bigger goals.
Much larger aspirations. And in fact,
grander.
I did not realize that was kind of to be this, like, early on. I didn't know that was to be, like, the central concept for the Florida Project as a whole. Like, I didn't even know. I thought it was on a much smaller scale than Walt intended it to
be. So you thought they were just going to be doing another park, and then it expanded to the idea.
It was going to be like a much more small community, and it was always going to be like kind of like a non-central thing. Like, it was just kind of like its own deal.
Walt do small projects.
This is true. I mean, but this was, again, remember, this was like, you know, 7 years ago. Like, I didn't know.
Very true. Very true.
At the time.
Early like Disney knowledge, Ian.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So, for those who are not familiar with the Florida Project or the original Epcot, this was the game plan when Disneyland started doing very well, and Walt decided that he wanted to expand into bigger and better. At that point in time, they had already been talking about how revolutionary Disneyland was as far as homogeneous system. I know that's a really weird saying, but it popped into my head.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of the advancements and how it's basically a forerunner, starter, you know, creator of the new style to be expected. And so Walt, taking all that really positive feedback from people, decided that he was going to push the envelope to the next logical step. So if they're saying that he builds, you know, a very well-functioning, well-rounded environment here, can he expand the environment a little bit more?
Right.
And that's where the Epcot or the Florida Project Epcot came into play.
Right. And he was, and, you know, as we know, like, Walt was very much like a futurist. And I could always tell that, like, you know, like, his ideas with, like, you know, early Tomorrowland and stuff, like, he was actually trying to be futuristic, but it just, like, it didn't work. Like, it never worked the way he intended to. And they had to kind of tweak the entire perspective of how you looked at Tomorrowland, because, like, his original idea was not feasible for what it was, because it was just supposed to be like an exhibit, you know, and you can't keep that perpetually up to date. So he had to make it more living and breathing. It kind of makes sense.
Tomorrow always comes and turns into today, and then it's in the past, and then there's more tomorrows, and it's hard to keep up, especially in a park format where it's attractions and investments and all of this. And so he wanted to, they already had a really good strategy planned out as far as working relationships with different companies, being sponsors for different attractions. They were the creators of some of the attractions at, obviously, the different World's Fairs around. And so they had some really good relationships with all of these technology companies. And so it made sense that Walt was like, well, if they're offering these products, why don't we work with them and give them a place to do some actual, like, live action testing?
And
try out new, like, things.
He's basically like, the idea is so, like, it's kind of like outlandish, because, like, I still, as of now, I don't think anyone's actually, like, taken this on.
Oh God!
Because
no.
you would need so much money to take on something, and so much agreement from so many different people to take it on. And it was, the craziest thing about this is the only reason that didn't happen is because Walt died.
Walt died.
Like, that's legitimately, like, the only reason that this didn't happen the way it was, because he was already steering the ship.
Yeah, they already started moving forward with things. So they bought the property, obviously, down in the Orlando area. They planned it between the two main central highways, because highways were just starting to be a thing at that point in time. And so they saw it as a very good location to cover all of Florida for easy access. And they bought up, I think at the original time, they bought, like, 23 square miles, maybe longer. I don't know. I know that around now it ended up being at its peak about 40 square miles worth of property that was the Disney World property down in Central Florida.
Yeah.
And the theme park aspect, which we now know as Magic Kingdom, was actually just a very, very small little part components. Of this.
Yeah. It was just supposed to be there just kind of for funsies. Like, it was kind of like just a draw. Like, it was all it was.
It wasn't the main focus.
It was not the main focus, right? Right. Which is just, it's crazy to think about this as it is now. And, you know, obviously we'll get to what happened when he died and they pivoted. But, it's interesting, so because,
I was going to say, let's talk about the direction of the property. So the property is actually kind of set up like longer versus wider. It's meant to be tall. Able to, you get what I'm saying. And at the bottom, at the southern part, there was going to be an airport, which I think we have mentioned in prior episodes before that Walt wanted to have, you know, a new state of the art sort of airport that was specifically for Disney properties, but then you know, actually, the whole MCO thing.
And they actually did build an airfield for a hot minute. That'll come out. I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Yeah. And then everything is connected via a monorail system. So then it would go up to a visitor center, which was a huge complex. So it wasn't just like a building, not like an intake building, but an actual complex that talked about, you know, welcome to Central Florida, welcome to Disney World, blah 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 blah. That then progressed into an industrial park, which sounds staler than it actually was intended.
If
you get what I'm saying. And then it led into the actual concept of Epcot, and then finally through to the theme park, which we now know as the Magic Kingdom. So all of these were going to be interconnected through the monorail system. And the thing about this as well, especially Epcot particularly, is that they had intended it to be in that location. So it was sandwiched between two different swamps to avoid trespassers, which I thought was really kind of
interesting.
Yeah. I'm like, thought. Really? You're okay.
Yeah.
But even Walt himself's like, yeah, we're going to put this here to avoid trespassers. And I was like,
what's the 60s?
Peeping Toms? I mean,
yeah, that's super strange. Okay. I mean, I guess like more, I mean, like in any case, it was like, yeah, it was for isolation, which again, like sort of feels sort of like the beginning of like a bad sci-fi thriller. But anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Epcot, which is the focus of this whole thing, is the experimental prototype community of tomorrow. Occasionally, Walt will call it the experimental prototype city of tomorrow. And it is primarily known, though, as the community of tomorrow. And it was supposed to be a living showcase of the newest tech. And so if we want to talk about it, it was set up in a radial planning pattern, just like all the parks are essentially. So you have a central hub, and then there are spokes that come out from there, like the spokes on a wheel. And so from the central location, there was supposed to be a 30 plus story cosmopolitan hotel, which is where a lot of the tourists would be staying, not just at the, because they did have the resorts planned, a couple of resorts planned up for the actual theme parks, but Walt envisioned this as its own sort of attraction. And so they needed a place for people to stay. So a 30 plus story cosmopolitan hotel was going to spire up through the middle of this wheel. And then there was going to be a business and commerce section. And then out from there was high density apartment housing, where they were going to have 10 apartment complexes. Then there was a green belt or recreational land, which was meant to, you know, break it up a little bit more. So that way it's not so, you know, industrial feeling. And then finally leading out into the low density neighborhood areas of single family homes. All of that within the radial planning area.
Right. And so the, those low density areas would still be like part of that. Like they would still be in the rings of, mm-hmm. of the interesting.
Yep.
Yeah. It's interesting that, that he puts, here's an interesting, this is just me musing. Sorry guys. That's just,
we're
that's
good
where
with
I'm
musing.
Right
it's
now.
Fine. It's
yeah.
fine.
It's, he put the green belt not between business and commerce and housing. He put it between high density housing and low density housing, which mm-hmm. I found sort of interesting.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense because apartments feel like they'd be a little bit more urban. So they're sure. used to being more towards inner city feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I suppose, then, yeah. And I suppose too, that since they're, then you'd have a the stripe of green would be between the two different housing setups. That I guess mm-hmm. that kind of makes sense. Interesting. Yeah. It's just yeah, I mean it's interesting all the logic that they would have gone through to set that up.
Yeah. Huh. So I'm actually going to jump down a little bit. And before we get into okay. breaking down the different sections of the hub, mm-hmm. let's first talk about the transportation.
Yeah.
Because this didn't
I love transportation.
I know. This is just it's such a
it's fascinating.
Such a unique concept. So
yeah.
The Epcot experimental prototype community of tomorrow was not intended to be completely carless. People were still okay. allowed to have cars.
Okay.
Okay. But what they had originally planned was a multi-level system. So on okay. the very bottom level, which I don't know how they would do this with the watershed level of Florida, but whatever, yeah, right. was supposed to be incoming trucks and deliveries and that sort of thing.
Mm.
Above that would be... Okay. modern consumer cars. So that okay. would be where the people who are driving in and let's say staying in that hotel or yeah. wanting the shopping district, that sort of thing, would park okay. on that second level underneath okay. and yep. would then go up and use the other commuting. The next level okay. was primarily pedestrian. So that was the main floor. That was the, you know, ground
yeah.
level.
Pedestrian traffic. Yeah.
They wanted Walt's intention was to make it a safe place for people to be able to walk without feeling like they were going to get run over.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. You separate, mm-hmm. They call that grade separation. That's something that was a concept they did in Chicago where, and this was in the late 1800s where they decided, hey, you know, we don't want, the water table for Chicago was actually really high, just like it is in Florida. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we don't know, you know, we don't want these trains to be on grade with pedestrian traffic.
Oh, it's is just that why they raised?
It's a mess. Yep. Yeah.
Interesting.
And so, and then when they went and did, they wanted to do more, it was way too expensive because they when they did the subway lines under Chicago, mm-hmm. they realized that it was way too expensive to try to use that much steel in the 30s because it was the 30s and like no one had a lot of steel in the 30s and 40s. Mm-hmm. So they decided that it would be much cheaper to tunnel under. So then they had the technology to tunnel under and it was easier, but they always made it so you were never at grade with the people.
Okay.
And that was one big issue that we have here in Minneapolis with our light rail. It's a cool system, but it's not as utilized as it probably could be. And I blame that a lot of that on the fact that it's at grade the whole time and it can cause problems.
Yeah.
I'm a proponent of public transit, but that would be my big complaint about it.
Well, and that's what Walt wanted to really emphasize. So after mm-hmm. you hit the, you know, ground level, which is all the pedestrian walking areas, then they moved mm-hmm. up to the actual, you know, there was a transportation hub in that main central spire, yeah. which is how you got out of your car and went places. But yeah. in that area, they also had people movers and monorail, and that was going to be up on the next story so that way it could travel overhead yeah. without okay. you having to worry about being run into or this or that. Now, for people who aren't familiar with the two modes of transportation that I just brought up, the people mover mm-hmm. and the monorail, you want to think more of a general train sort of format.
Yeah, more of a
high-speed
train.
So there
yeah.
are multiple cars being sent off, and that was going to be the main long distance
regional
mode of
rail.
Transportation
yeah.
to go from the airport all the way up to the theme parks and then back and forth. So
yeah.
let's say that
yeah.
you were living in Epcot and you worked in the industrial park. So you would actually take the monorail, you know, go to the inside of the city to the transportation center, mm-hmm. transportation and ticket center. And take the monorail out to the industrial park and then work your job so you could leave your car at your residence without having to worry about gas or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Which was really kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, when you're inside, so then that's, you got the monorail, and then you've got, you know, the people mover system, which have we done an episode on the people mover yet?
We have not done an episode on the people mover, which crazy. We love the people mover.
It's such an amazing thing. So, you know, and they ended up using the people mover, you know, platform in the Magic Kingdom in the end anyway, but the idea was it's a slow moving, continually moving. So you just, you know, when you, it's kind of like it's, you get on and off of it, similar to like an Omni Mover system. If you've ridden like the Haunted Mansion or something, you would, you get onto that like little
escalator, that sort of thing too.
Yes. It's just, you've got that little, you've got something next to you that matches its speed. So you can get on and it never stops moving. The people mover is neat though, because it can get faster and slower depending on where it is because of its linear induction motors, which was pretty unique at the time. The technology now is kind of old. They've gotten, with the computer technology we've got now, you can have very nice and smooth setups for that. Back then they had to do it with just like frequency of spacing of the electromagnets, yes. Which is kind of crazy. Yes. But that was a thing. And in fact, when we talk about the people mover, there's actually a second one of those somewhere else, but that'll be spoilers for later.
Covered under another episode where we do a special on the people mover. Exactly. Actually though, this people mover was supposed to be the electric version, like was originally in Disneyland,
mm-hmm.
not the linear induction, which ended up becoming part of Walt Disney World. It wasn't going to be the magnets one. It was supposed to be
It was supposed to be the electric motor with the rubber wheels.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, at that point in time, they didn't have the linear induction figured out yet.
Sure.
So that came later.
Right.
And probably, especially since this didn't get off the ground, really. They were working off of existing tech.
Right. They were using what they had. I mean, like, it's possible that they could have, by the time they would have gotten to the point of construction, they would have already developed that version of the people mover.
At the point at which
Walt was working on it, that was what they had in mind. Okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
And so the people movers are the ones that will take you out to the spokes. So if you are in the city center, it'll take you to the different areas of the commerce, the parks, and the apartments and the outside housing as well. So you would be able to walk from your house. And actually, what I really enjoyed about this was that they had the houses set up in a loop around a spoke. And your cars, you parked on the outside, so think kind of alleyway, but then on the inside of the spoke is where a huge green lawn is yet again with a connector to the people mover. So you go up probably a flight of stairs, because at that point in time the ADA didn't exist, but up a flight of stairs to then take that people mover back into the city. And the rest of the lawn in between, imagine the roads that we see now and like the cul-de-sacs and stuff. Just imagine them green, where kids could play and not have to worry about being run over. That was the intent. So it was a nice, safe bubble that, you know, made it easy for transport and safety.
Yeah.
So it was a really great concept.
No, like the whole idea, the more and more I like when we were, when I was doing more deep dive research on this, it's like, I'm like, I want to live here. Like, I lived in a big city, you know, for a while, like where I did not have a car and I was just doing this, you know, where I just had whatever public transit was available to me. And I like conceptually, it was actually awesome. Like, I actually really enjoyed it. And, you know, there was, you know, the classic problems with the way this stuff is set up. It's not planned. It's not, you know, and I would say that even Chicago is actually a pretty good transit system. So,
I mean, it's better than Minnesota.
I can't imagine what it'd be like. Well, that's true. But it's certainly amazing to see, like, even one that's kind of like good right now, how much that could have been improved with how it would have been designed, where, you know, mass transit was actually embedded into the very core of the concept. Which is, I just found that to be really, really amazing.
Make everything more smooth.
Yeah. And just having everything separated out. And the other thing that's kind of amazing about it too, is like, you know, when you get there, you park your car, you know, you never drive a car anywhere in there. So the idea that you would be like, there would never be a vehicle, everything would just be electric. So the fumes, like the smog and stuff on property would be very low.
Exactly.
It's just kind of an amazing, the whole thing is just really amazing to me.
And then all the green space too, just to have that live plants and everything around you would be so much healthier. So let's break down a little bit more about the different rings in the spoke. So mm-hmm. I talked about the city center and the spire. From there yeah. would be the business and commerce area. And what I found really neat about this was, first off, it was supposed to be huge. It was like yeah. 50 acres of a shopping district. that's huge, especially yeah. when you take into consideration that Walt was originally planning on making this a covered and temperature controlled area.
Dude,
50 acres. I mean, what is that? The Mall of America? Is the Mall of America smaller than that? I don't even know.
I wish I had my phone. Yeah, that would, yeah, that we would don't have the fix be in very front fascinating. Of
us. But yeah. it was supposed to be covered and temperature controlled, and there was supposed to be a whole bunch of like skylights with natural lighting popping through. And so you didn't have to worry about like all of the things yeah. that you hear all the time about Disney being under like a glass dome, or right, why can't they right. control the bugs, or why is it right. raining on me? Well, I mean, they were going to take care of that here.
That's funny. Oh my God.
And then another thing is they were supposed to have shopping areas that mimicked other places in the world or represented mm-hmm. other countries in the world, mm-hmm. which really the current Epcot gives a lot of wink wink nods to.
Nods to that. Oh yeah.
They have the visual representation of if you were shopping in this area or in this country. That was the mm-hmm. idea behind this as well. So you would have, you know, if you wanted to go to get some really good sushi and some yeah, really just, good like- kitchen knives.
Take one people mover ride into Japan and have some.
Exactly. And feel like yeah. you are down there with, you know, the paper walls and everything. They would have had it. I'm yeah. sure the Imagineers would have been perfection when it came to yeah. all of this, just like they are now. But yeah. if Walt was overseeing all of this.
Yeah. You would have wanted to plus it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a 50-acre shopping district.
That's so crazy.
Covered. Temperature controlled.
Oh,
no bugs.
Man.
No bugs.
Yeah.
Crazy. And then it went out into the apartment ring, which,
right.
honestly, there's only like 10 apartment complexes, so I don't know
why they
decided.
But they
would
have been pretty big, though, right?
Well, okay. So let's talk about population in general, because you yeah, bring yeah. that up, and it's a really good thing.
Yes.
So when we're talking about the concept of Epcot as a living community, they were mm-hmm. only talking, I say only, but remember the time period that they were planning this out in versus modern right. populace. They were right, only right. talking about 20,000 people living there.
Which
total.
I mean, which to be fair, like that's the size of like the city that I live in now. Mm-hmm. Which is a suburban town outside of Minneapolis, which like obviously like the Minneapolis area is like I think the city itself is like 400,000. I could be wrong, but like as like a small like self-sufficient town, like 20,000, that's pretty reasonable. Like, I mean, that's not like
very.
I think it's definitely it's not like, well, we're all going to have like 5,000 people living here, you know, because I could see that being an easy thing to jump into because they're trying mm-hmm. to figure it out. Like 20,000 seems like a nice number because it's not yeah. like this massive sprawling metropolis that they're trying to build out from nothing. But it's also not it's also like enough people where you have to have it figured out, you yeah. know, like it's well, kind of in the
they're
middle.
They're talking about like 6,000 to 7,000 residential units total between the apartment complexes and the single family homes.
Okay.
So 10 apartment complexes,
6,000 to 7,000 residential, like just like living units.
Correct. So that would be individual apartments. That would be single family mm-hmm. homes, a combination of them. So really it's not a lot, but it's not small either. So they're not being like, yeah, we're just totally going to end up doing this with 500 people.
Cool.
But also, let's get the original concept of this thrown back in there. So this is supposed to be the experimental prototype community of tomorrow, which means
Capital
that
Epcot.
If they got a new microwave that they wanted mm-hmm. people to try out, that means 6,000 to 7,000 household
people
updates.
Getting one, right.
And how often, as now granted, this was also in the 60s, how often do we have tech being updated nowadays? They would not have been able to keep
months.
Up with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would not have been able to keep up with this item, this situation, this product, this flooring, this communication program, this. It would have been constantly like, if you live in a construction zone because you just can't keep up with DIY home projects, that's what you would have been living in. Although a lot cheaper, you know, a lot more high end scale versus my little cheap pocketbook worth of DIYs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the newest and greatest nowadays, they have, you know, cell phone companies that come out with a new phone twice a year, once a year.
Right.
And having to switch over everybody for every single little thing.
Yeah. It's kind of insane. Now, to be fair, like, and you know, kind of does tie nicely into that industrial park you were talking about, because, you know, theoretically here, like, you know, there's going to be, just like it is with the theme parks now, or historically they're having trouble with that right now, but the sponsorship thing, so like these companies would kind of buy into being part of the Epcot, you know, ecosystem, and they would actually kind of move partially into the industrial park and have kind of a connection there, and they could be doing work at Epcot, and it'd make it easier to kind of do integration and stuff too, right? I mean, that's kind of the concept.
Yeah. And it was like supposed to be a behind the scenes area, so it was something that the random tourist could come walking through and see what's the newest GE products that are currently under development, what's being tested out, how can I It was an age before, like, TV advertisements, internet advertisements, and all of those guys really dug their claws in. And a lot of people used things like the World's Fair to be able to see what's the newest, the next, the greatest, what do I need to invest in? Because they wanted to see things live. So you had a lot more door-to-door salesmen showing off how a product actually works, and people could actually see it physically, get their hands on it, try it, touch it. And that was the intent behind this. So this would be an area where projects would be under development, but people who were curious would be able to come down and see what's going on, see what's coming up, what's new, what's interesting.
Yeah. It's an interesting kind of concept that seems to be very consistent with Walt. And I don't know that, you know, I can't look into his brain, but, you know, I feel like we've been doing a lot of digging into his brain in this podcast a little bit, and just that's just the nature of kind of going through this stuff.
Try and figure out the inner workings of Walt.
Right. And I feel like, I can't tell this for sure, but he definitely seemed to like the idea of everything being sort of like there for the world to be part of the innovation. Like I feel like Walt, and I don't know, this could be polarizing, but I feel like he like would have liked the idea of Kickstarter. Like he would have liked, you know what I mean? Like he would have liked the idea that like something was happening and it would be part of the world.
I could totally see a Disney Kickstarter. Hey, everybody, we're trying to start this ride with all of these little miniature statuettes of kids from all around the world. Who wants to throw money at this? And then, like, you know, the earworm.
can you imagine, but like Walt just like scrolling through Kickstarter to see like things he's interested in, like, it's just, to me it seems like that's the sort of thing that Walt liked. It was like at the time, like, only big industry was doing this, and now it's kind of changed a little bit, and obviously the Kickstarter has its own sets of problems, but like I feel like that's an interesting thing for him to like I feel like it was something missing in his life that he might have wanted.
Yeah, he totally would have been one of the guys that waits in line for the newest, like, Apple phone update.
Yeah, the new iPhone.
It's the newest tech. Must figure it out. Hey, Steve Jobs, do you want to come over and blah, 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 blah? Because, you know, at that time, they're both still alive in my head. So we're going to move on.
Right.
But yeah, totally. That's what Walt was. And that's what this was intended to be. So they wanted to have people living in this world, working in this world, have it be an example of what could happen. And they did make strides towards it. Now, Walt had originally said that this was going to be a 15-year plan to create this community.
Yeah.
And so they started building things like the Reedy Creek Improvement District, which I know we've talked about prior too, so they could have governance and control over, you know, water and energy and all those other usages, under the intention that they were going to create a city, not just theme parks, but an actual city.
Right. If you look at like what Reedy Creek is, it doesn't make sense that they invented it for what they have now. Granted, it's offered them a lot of opportunity for what they have now, but it makes literally no sense that they would actually like go through the work of making it exist for just having four theme parks. It's very weird. Yeah.
But it makes sense when you put it into this context where they were going to be a city and they needed a governing body where they could have complete control instead of the state of Florida and like Orange County, Osceola County, trying to get their little fingers in there to say, you need to do this, you need to do that.
Right.
Walt wanted to have complete control because he's kind of a control freak, in the best sense, but
mostly.
Yeah.
So no, absolutely. It's interesting. Yeah. It's an interesting thing that's because I never like that was again like me like past Ian didn't understand like I knew Reedy Creek existed and I didn't like understand like I understood that like Disney had this really amazing like quality where they could kind of control every part of the property and it felt very you know, like we mentioned earlier kind of isolated in some ways and it makes total sense now like why that ended up the way it was just because the foundation it was built on.
And through that, even though we do not have Epcot as originally conceptualized, we do have a version of Epcot currently that gives, you know, slight homage to this. Now they're doing a revamp as well. But, you know, the World Showcase area, as I had mentioned before, really kind of brings in that commerce thought process and theming that Walt had imagined to be able to feel like you're going to the places before the reimagining that just was announced last year. Future World of Epcot really kind of tried to represent the moving forward and trying new things within
technology? It seemed like to me that Epcot, like the interventions and Communicore and like that kind of that whole central area for Future World for Epcot seemed to me like it was their attempt to try to recreate what they couldn't do with Tomorrowland. Is kind of what it felt like to me.
Yeah. And then even through like the Reedy Creek Improvement District, they were taking steps forward to try the newest technologies through like water filtration systems. They used fish and plants at one point in time to try and recycle the water and purify the water. They currently have a whole bunch of solar panels out there to try and not use as much coal-based energy and keep moving forward with technology to be, you know, try the best new thing and see if it actually works or not.
The spirit of what Walt wanted to do is sort of kind of living on in more kind of hidden ways, which, for example, like that that solar panel is actually a hidden Mickey for people who didn't know. Like if you look at it from
one of them is.
Yeah, there's a couple. But yeah, the one panel they've even though it seems kind of inefficient. I mean, like,
yeah, that one field you could only see from if you're in a plane,
like plane
flying over it. But of course, Disney is pretty much a no fly zone, so you won't really see it anyways.
So Google Earth, it's worth it. Looking at it from Google Earth. But
but no, they keep trying as much as they can. Even though, you know, Walt is no longer around to really keep the energy going. The spirit is still going. It's just not as obvious. We don't have a 30, you know, story spire, but we have the contemporary. And we have so many other different resorts that are sustaining off of the land and using contained energy and a lot of more modern
technology from the time and think about how are they all connected, the monorail, you know, in that central area. I mean, just the resorts in the central, the higher end resorts in the middle, right? But like, you know, those early resorts, they built them out and they used the monorail system and they created a loop, you know.
I do love
and
then they the created, homage that they gave and connected Epcot to the monorail.
Yeah,
like they were going to
too. Yeah. It's there's a lot of little things that you look at the original Florida project and you go, oh, I see. And they've got like the visitor center. Well, the TTC exists, mm-hmm. you know, like it didn't really
the transportation
need to exist.
Area. And yep.
Yeah, like it didn't exactly. need to exist, but it did. They built mm-hmm. it. It's like they kind of took those elements, and those elements are like things that I see now. And like it does add that level of it's like a level of thought process and
exactly.
And there's actually a word that I'm like trying to say, but I can't think of what it is right now.
It's okay.
Just that level of
Disney magic
planning. Yeah, this level of planning, the level of detail that is really amazing. And mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily know why that would have been a thing, but kind of turns out it kind of came from Walt. And on top of that, I really feel like, and obviously it's called Walt Disney World. We kind of forget about that to a certain degree, but. It's funny because it does feel like Epcot Center, like the current Epcot, lowercase Epcot that we have now. It seems like sort of like a love letter to Walt from the people that worked with him.
Yes, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like, you know, you look at the stuff that did, it's connected to the monorail. It's talking about all the things that he wanted to see for the future. That's what the original, you know, future world was. And you got the World's Fair.
And teaching. Keeping yeah. things... you know, moving forward and yeah. education, but in a fun way and
yeah.
just encouraging people to keep trying new things. That's what,
yeah.
that's what Walt wanted. Walt wanted that's to see wanted. The future. He wanted that, to that, have an ever evolving.
Yeah. And that, and global and the global community, that was like his mm-hmm. other big thing. And that was what they did with the World Showcase. Yeah. And that like all became sort of, all those things that kind of were like things that were very near and dear to Walt, they kind of made that into the Epcot that, you know,
exists. We know and love.
Probably won't exist for too terribly much longer.
Yeah, hopefully because it's turning into Epcot, but we're going to...
Epcot, but yeah, I mean, and also though, from what I've seen, like, I do think there are going to be a lot of really good things that are going to happen to Epcot. I think there's a lot of neat things that are coming, but that certainly does come with the sense of dread that they're pushing a little bit too much intellectual property into it, but
yeah.
that's another rant, that's another topic.
Yep. So yep. this has been Epcot, the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow, otherwise yes, known as the indeed. Florida Project. Yeah. This has been WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
And I'm Ian.
And we hope you have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Bye, everybody. Mm-hmm.